Hello and welcome back to the Club Soda Podcast. This is
New York Special. New York Special. I thought I'd get that one in. Actually, that didn't sound very cool. That sounded a bit weird.
Do you want to try again?
That's fine. I was just trying to get in before you did a song, and then I left a pause, and you got some singing in. Shit.
Now it's in New York. Concrete Jungle, where podcasts are made of. New York City Edition Special 2, Beyond Booze.
Yes.
Hello, well Laura. Done, how Laura. Are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm looking forward to hearing this episode. I want to know how we make things bigger and better and brighter in the Club Soda tasting room. So advice from elsewhere is always welcome. I always learn a lot when we go and visit other places.
Yeah, absolutely. You've just come back from France and you visited right there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've given us ideas on how we might be able to do some food, and the amount of wine in one of the shops in Paris is amazing. So yeah, lots of ideas, and lots of ideas that we can build into other spaces if we are able to do stuff as well. So that's cool.
I speak to Axel, who is the owner of Minus Moonshine, which is my favorite New York City alcohol-free bottle shop.
Tell me a little bit about what you thought was really good and really interesting in the shop.
The layout of the shop was great. The products that they've chosen were clearly chosen because they liked them and they understand them, and it's all good tasting stuff, and soundtracked by some of my favorite 80s goth bands and 90s hardcore music. I just loved that. It was like my favorite dive bar, but it turned into an alcohol-free bottle shop.
Cool. That's interesting. I think, you know, as we move forward, we learn more about our space in Covent Garden, how we begin to adapt that space as well to the needs and to the customers, now that we know, understand who's coming in a bit more as well.
Well, without further ado, let's get into it. All right, here we go. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to the Club Soda Podcast. This is Beyond Booze on Tour. I'm currently sat in Minus Moonshine in Brooklyn. Incredible non-alcoholic shop. I'm sat here with Axel from Minus Moonshine. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's hot outside, but it's good.
It's very warm. But we are sat here with some delicious drinks. I've got an Athletic Tropical Reset, Pina Colada Sour, and you have hop tea. This is something I'm hearing a lot about. I
mean, yes.
Hop water, hop tea. So all the rage.
They don't do that over there?
I mean, we're only starting to see drips and drabs of hop water.
I've
not seen a hop tea yet, which is ironic.
Beer-driven over there.
But tea.
True.
Right?
Yeah, but beer plus tea, like, as a thing together, that sounds like something that would, like, can I swear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yes, I was like, okay. Sounds like something that would kill the queen, and then I'm like, oh, too soon.
It's okay, we're not a pro-monarchy podcast. It's,
Yay, cheers!
Yeah.
And we're already there.
Don't you worry. So, take me back as far as you would like. What's the history of Minus Moonshine? How did it come to be created? What was your concept?
So it's been in play, I guess, for like decades, because I started drinking a little bit in high school, like, you know, and then I didn't really start drinking. Legal drinking age here is 21.
Yeah.
Didn't start drinking until like 23. And then got in a pretty bad car accident and didn't drink for a little bit. I've been back and forth for years. Like, I would quit drinking for like 3 years and try to be like super healthy. Did like the raw vegan thing for like 12 years. I ate mostly fruit, which was amazing. Felt great. And I would just go back and forth. Like, as a musician, when you go play a show, they give you drink tickets. And it's like, you can have soda, or you can have, like, you know, a well rail drink. And I would always get kind of bored with seltzer,
yeah.
You know? And so, like, I would kind of cave and have a drink with my bandmates. And then I'd be drinking for the next couple of years. And then I'd quit again. And there was never really, like, a good option until kombucha became popular. And then I started making like mocktails with kombucha, and I used to be a chef, so I try to figure stuff out, but it was never like, it was never good enough to keep me away from wine, whiskey, tequila, which were like my go-tos.
Okay.
And when the pandemic happened, a lot of people were either like one way or the other. And I was working out a ton, but I was also not ready to quit drinking again, even though it seemed like that was kind of a trend. People were baking bread instead of drinking. And
yeah.
I was recording an album by myself, and I just like would have like a whiskey and a like gluten-free beer, and I'd sit there in the afternoon, and I wouldn't over drink a ton until my pod was formed. I had a safe pod. There were five of us, and then we started drinking a lot.
Okay. Doing
karaoke in the living room. So
what's your go-to karaoke song? What do you start the night with?
I have so many. I think Xanadu is nice. One of my favorites.
Okay.
That's like the first one that comes to mind, but I have a ton.
Okay.
Right. Alice in Chains, I do a lot of that.
All right. Okay.
Wood is so good. but yeah, I decided, okay, well, it's time for dry January. Like, I gotta like take a little rest. I found Ritual Whiskey and was like, holy shit.
Mm.
This plus seltzer is like almost like my dive bar whiskey soda. And
yeah.
Juan is my fiance, who's the manager here and the everything here that I can't do. He and I used to spend like, you know, 3 to 6 nights a week at the dive bar. That was like our social thing.
Yep.
And the Ritual Whiskey Soda filled that void. And so I was like, well, what else is out there? And I kept finding stuff, but it was like, okay, well, I have to buy from this company, and then I have to buy from that company. And there was nothing that I could walk to.
Yeah.
And in New York, it's like, we want it now. I want to walk out the door. I want to get my thing. And then I want to go home.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, what if there was a place that had everything? And then I found that there was a place in the city, and I'm like, it can be done.
Yeah.
Holy shit, it can be done.
Okay.
So, great minds think alike, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was interested in moving forward with it, and yeah, we proceeded, and we're on year 3 now. I've since
wow.
bought out my
year
business
3.
Partner, which is really, really fun. It's just like, here's a chunk of money.
Yeah.
But
that's incredible. 3 years, eh? Congrats.
Yeah. And
that's
it's
massive.
You know, it's up and down. It's a new business. This is still such a new concept to people, even 3 years later. Well, 2 years, more than 2 years later.
Yeah.
But it's everything that I needed to quit drinking and stay off of alcohol. I come from a long line of alcoholics, and my mom, who's, you know, often on the sauce, has told me, you know, I broke the cycle. And that felt so good.
Yep.
And I think about my grandmother who struggled with alcohol. I think about her every day. She inspires me to just keep going. And the memory of my grandfather, my dad's dad, who, you know, had liver cancer. Like, it's like, alcohol isn't that cool. Like, it's fun in the moment, but the after effects just aren't worth it. I'm officially in my mid-40s now, and it's just, I don't want to be hungover. I have too much to do.
Yeah.
Too much to do. And I don't want to waste my time in bed. You know, my first 2-day hangover was 11 years ago, but yet I only quit drinking, you know, again, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It took me that long, but I knew it was always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I knew it. Years ago, when I was a raw vegan chef, I had like a little raw vegan cheese company out in Los Angeles, and I would sell at like fancy little, what we call bodegas here in New York. And
yeah.
There was a kind of boutique grocery owned by this amazing woman who was the private chef for the BC Boys on tour.
Hell yeah.
And she was sober. And I remember, like, you know, dropping off cheese one day, and I would always pick her brain about like sobriety. And I'm like, I don't feel like I'm an alcoholic, but I feel like I'm not good with alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not drinking in the morning, but when I do drink, I can't like just have one. I would max out at like 4, but it's not too much, but it's like, it's still too much for me.
Well, of course, yeah. And it's each individual to their own. I think we've been lied to think that there's a stereotype image of what an alcoholic looks like.
Right.
And it's such a classic in the gutter, brown paper bag, you know, all of these things must happen. It's just not the case.
Right.
Everyone's so different. And if it's not serving you, it's not serving you ultimately.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Exactly. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people question, do I drink too much, but I'm not an alcoholic, so what is too much?
Mm-hmm.
When really, it's like, if it's affecting your life whatsoever, it's okay to say it's not working.
Yeah.
And it's so ingrained socially, as we know, that, I mean, I had friends kind of just disappear because I wasn't ready to, like, go out and eat dinner and drink with them for 3 hours.
Yeah.
So I wasn't fun to them. Even though I never said anything about their drinking, you know, they were drinking, you know, the same or maybe more than I when we went to dinner. And it's, my whole social circle has changed, and it's great.
Yeah.
I stay home a lot more, but that's because I don't think I was having that much fun out anyway. I don't really like crowds. I don't like noise. I like being at home with my dogs and my partner. And I almost, like, looking back, I think I drank to put up with things.
Yeah.
Like other drunk people.
Yeah.
Growing up with an alcoholic mother, it's like, I'm almost like, I don't want to like overuse the word triggered, but I am triggered by drunk people.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. So bottle shops and NA bars and events and stuff really seem to be taking off in the States. There's a lot going on, certainly in New York and LA. New York seems to be the most kind of bustling in terms of shops in numbers. What are some of the kind of high-flying products out of the shop at the moment?
Let's
chat about some fun brands.
Home State Heroes, St. Augustus.
Yeah, had my first yesterday.
Negroni. Yeah, it's pretty accurate. I had a Negroni for the first time years ago. I used to be married, and I went on a honeymoon in Curacao. And I was in a swimming pool, and I remember having my first sip of Negroni and being like, absolutely not.
That's everyone's first sip of a Negroni. Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Oh, yes.
No,
so, yeah,
I didn't want it. And so when I tasted the St. Augustus Foamy Negroni and it brought me back to that swimming pool, I was like, this is so accurate. I have to bring this in. Because I know people love Negronis. I might not be one of those people, but I am a huge fan of what they do. It's accurate.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So I think that people love non-alcoholic wine. You know?
There's a lot of interest now. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I know all of my cousins and, you know, friends that have been pregnant are familiar with that, like, Jones in for like wine, like my cousin, I would watch her like sneak sip some of her husband's beer and wine, and people don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah,
you know, they can just like have a glass of wine and have a beer. And like, I love when people are like, oh, you know, my girlfriend's on medication and she can't drink for a couple weeks, so I'm here to surprise her, you know, and bring her some stuff, and that makes me so happy.
It's a real special thing that we're able to do in the non-alcoholic world and help people in all sorts of situations, for sure.
There was, I remember the first year we were open, a young woman came in and she said she just needed a moment because she realized everything in here was for her, and she started crying.
That's
She's
beautiful.
Like, I just need a moment. I've never been in a place where I could have everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Special.
I've had a few interactions like that where it's like, it makes me feel like, okay, this is what I wanted. Like in my previous career, I was sitting at the desk one day and was like, I'm like happy here, but is this what I want to do when I'm 50? And then I was like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I've already, you know, taught dance and fitness. I was a yoga instructor. I was a chef. I'm still an optician, but I wanted to do something that continued to help people. And it wasn't until I helped myself first that I realized what my true calling was.
It's very true. That seems to be a similar thread I hear from a lot of people in this space. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Community is a huge part of this, but being able to help others is a massive part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the vibe here. Anybody who's passing through New York, get yourself to Brooklyn. I heard you describe yourselves as like the punk rock of NA bottle shops, and it's absolutely spot on. Some amazing post-hardcore playing when I came in. Just like a good vibe. The shelves are full. It's a nice, comfortable space. Some cool rugs. It's a good vibe. I love it here. And I think that authenticity rings true when it comes to, I mean, I'm assuming nice, you know, cool neighborhood with regulars. I imagine yes. You have people who come through a lot, which is great, but definitely a testament to your success, just like the genuine vibe of it. Because I think a lot of people are trying lots of different methods out, but in terms of the way their shop looks, but this is right up my street. So for Sweet. People listening, definitely pass through.
Thank you.
How do you see this space developing over the next few years in terms of the way consumers are perceiving it? You know, do you see more people being turned onto it, people who drink being turned onto it? Do you see more acceptance around it and more people kind of being interested in the sober curious and sobriety lifestyle?
Yeah, I don't think alcohol is ever going to go away. I think that there will always be people who want to drink alcohol. And I think, at least for a while, it's going to still be way more popular than this. I see the market being more saturated. I see shops like mine becoming less important. However, even with the big, beverage companies, and outside of New York, I guess in suburbs and in larger sprawl areas, you have these big, huge companies. I won't name names, but they have so much more space because it's essentially a warehouse full of alcohol, and they have their non-alc sections. But what I think is, a shop like mine and all of the other amazing bottle shops out there across, the US and coming to Canada and in the UK, we know the products. We also have all the special stuff that, like the unknown brands. We are dedicated to this. So yep. It's the same thing with non-alcoholic bars, and I see that becoming more of a thing.
Okay.
Because people want social spaces where they don't have to be around alcohol. I am one of those people.
Yeah.
I want to be able to take a friend around probably 4 or 5 o'clock and go have a drink that's not coffee or tea. I don't drink caffeine that late.
Yeah.
But I want to have a social space.
Mm-hmm.
I know that restaurants are slowly coming on board. Music venues are slowly coming on board, but they're not moving fast enough, in my opinion.
Agreed.
So I think the future is, yes, we're not going anywhere, but at the same time, social spaces are going to evolve.
Absolutely. I would agree.
And cool. I think the public is almost ready for that. I think the more that people brave and, test the waters and dip their toes in to specific non-alcoholic bars.
Yeah.
I think it will normalize it just like these brands have normalized it. And in places like Minus Moonshine, we're normalizing the concept of not drinking and removing the shame from that.
Yep.
Because it's not shameful. It's awesome to do positive things for yourself and your body and your relationships and your community.
100%. Community, inclusivity, acceptance, reducing the stigma. These are all things we keep talking about, and it sounds like we're all on the same mission here, and a rising tide lifts all ships.
Yes, yes. And as a queer, trans, non-binary person, creating a space that is inclusive, as someone who's Mexican indigenous, it's gotta be inclusive. Like, I don't want anyone to ever come in here and not feel comfortable. Like, this is a space for everyone.
Yeah.
And, hosting events from time to time where the brands sponsor the events so that people who maybe, have a tight budget, like, they can come in and have some drinks.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be luxury.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Just got my brain spiraling. We're a queer-owned business at Club Soda, and we run a monthly night called Queers Without Beers, and it's one of the most popular nights of the month. So let's do Queers Without Beers Brooklyn, eh?
Oh,
next time I'm back.
Fuck yeah, I love that. Literally, so we're in a neighborhood called Prospect Heights, and Crown Heights is like so gay, it's so awesome. Okay, cool. And you know, we have so many. I mean, it's New York, so of course it's like there's gay everywhere, which I love. Like, I don't feel uncomfortable walking in my neighborhood, and we have so many customers that are, you know, queer, trans, poly, whatever, you know, and it's like they know when they come in here that we're not gonna like side eye them, or you know,
safe space.
If people with different skin colors come in here, they're not gonna be like watched or whatever. Like, it feels good to have a space like this.
Good.
Yeah.
Keep on doing the amazing work. It's such a good vibe. I'm so happy I could visit. And thank you for your time, Max.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for, like, being here and chatting with me. This is so cool.
Where can people find you in real life and online?
So we are in Brooklyn, near Prospect Park. Come and say hi to me or Juan. And then online, we're at minusmoonshine.com. We have TikTok, minusmoonshine. It's a struggle. TikTok is like, I don't want to open that app, but it's there.
I agree. I'm the same.
And then, of course, we're on Instagram. Juan does an amazing job at, like, making our reels and posts, and I love to see what he comes up with, so.
Fantastic. All right, guys.
Take care. We have a newsletter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If you sign up on our website, we send a monthly, minus monthly newsletter, and sometimes I sneak coupon codes in there.
All right.
We ship across the U.S.
Fantastic. Lovely to meet you, Max.
Cheers. So great.
There's always something to learn. If you think you know everything, then you never do. And I love spending time talking to people. You'll always learn, share ideas, but also, you know, the frustrations of running a business and the frustrations of being the first or being new in a new space as well. So I'm always very humbled when I meet other founders of things, people doing similar things to us. And I always feel inadequate as well. I'm like, oh God, they've managed to get it licked. But I know that's not how it always seems, because we always want to talk very positively about the things we do in the businesses that we have. But yeah, people are working really hard, and I can really sense that, you know, they've got this space, they've created a really lovely vibe, and now they're working really hard every single day to get people through the door, introduce the concept to people, and create an amazing experience. Hospitality absolutely rocks. People work their asses off.
Straight up, absolutely. It was great to check out the scene in New York. I think New York and London are very much leading the way in terms of visibility for alcohol-free in shops and bars and restaurants.
It's like we should have had an alcohol-free shop earlier in the UK, but I don't think it was quite right. We had lockdown in the middle, but America's gone, like, you know, super quick. It's like gone from, you know, having Spirited Away in New York and some pop-ups to suddenly the space going mental, and I can't quite keep up with the number of openings. And part of me is like, no, Britain was here first. We did it first. But actually, you know, the circumstances are very different here. Getting funding to do things is different. You know, retail space is incredibly expensive in the UK. And because of business rates and other things that actually make it quite prohibitive before you've even opened the doors. And so, you know, different circumstances, different places. We're also the size of, you know, a small state in America. So, you know, that's also the difference. And our supermarkets have done a pretty good job to date. So that makes it different to America as well. So, you know, every country has its unique bits to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for joining me for these New York specials.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, if there's one message that's come out the second half of this podcast, it's please come and visit us at the Club Soda Tasting Rooms. Or if you can't come and visit, do buy from us on joinclubsoda.com, we have a range of drinks that we're really proud of and excited to share with you. And we'll be sharing lots more about those coming up over the next few months. You can also find us on social at Join Club Soda, where you can also keep up to date with Noah's travels. Noah, what's your social handle again?
At Noah Villeneuve _. That's Noah, N-O-A-H, Villeneuve, V-I-L-L-E-N-E-U-V-E.
Yeah, and you will find him all across. We share your stories or as stories all the time to be able to find us there. Do come and visit us in Drury Lane. Do come and taste Noah's cocktails. And we look forward to welcoming you there.
Cheers. Enjoy.
Cheers.